Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line right here on the Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh joined by Donnie Wrightside, hour number two. A lot of good NBA preview for you. We'll hit, you know, bring back some target player props, college basketball style as well. But we begin in Major League Baseball. Win totals starting to appear on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and there was a rule yesterday put in that might just help one team. It is a rule that I like, but there is no reason to not call it the Ohtani rule, because it is a rule built for Shohei Ohtani. Simply, if a pitcher is taken out of the game, they can go into the DH slot. Simple enough. There's really, again, only one person that that matters for, and it's Shohei Ohtani. But firstly, before we talk about any win total impact, Donnie, you seem to be very, very happy about this rule and are covering Rob Manfred in praise.
Yeah, and I'm not even being like, you know, Donnie's always sarcastic. You can't trust anything that the guy's saying here. But listen to me at this point. I've been on this earth for 44 years. This has been the best 30 days in baseball history for me. And I know a lot of the purists will hate this. What do you mean? You're adding the DH. It's going to take the strategy away. And extra innings. You know, you can't put a ghost runner on second base, which they just got approved yesterday as well. And Shohei Ohtani, what are you kidding me? A pitcher, he should always bat anyway. If he comes out of the game, the strategy is if you take him out, he's out of the game for good. Absolutely not. Major League Baseball, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on Listen Up. They hit a grand slam, Kevin, over the past 30 days here. And this is just baseball getting it here. I hate Rob Manfred. He's the worst. You know, got to run a league and be a commissioner I've ever seen. False. This has been the best 30 days I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. Every single topic that they hit was a home run for baseball and its future. The DH, you're talking about in a couple years, maybe bringing in the robo umpire, bigger bases to try to cut down on injuries and also increase, you know, base running and base stealing here. So many things. A pitch clock that's going to come in here. And also just making sure the sanctity of the game is going to be okay, because, oh, we all love 19-inning games here. Everybody's trying to hit a solo home run. No, we don't. And to tip it off here, the Ohtani rule, sensational. He is a worldwide superstar that if you're an Angels fan and you go to the game, or if you're a road team, where let's just say in Yankee Stadium, Ohtani comes in. Hey, look at this. Had a little bit of a problem with an issue with his shoulder. He's going to be out in the third inning, and he's not going to bat the rest of the game. Why? Baseball finally doing the right thing and waking up in the 21st century and saying, we want our superstars to play. We want more offense. Let's have fun in this game. Not the old curmudgeons that are now 90 years old going, back in my day, pitchers came out when they exited the game, and that's the end of the story. Enough with that. Baseball, I love it. The Ohtani rule, perfection.
I love it, man. I love it. And look, here's the reality. Now, Rob Manfred praise is disgusting. He has been literally awful at his job. He has been
Hall of Famer.
Awful. Hall of Famer. Awful at his job. And then this offseason, they've been able to get some rules correct. And even in that, basically the entire player, like, this guy needs to go. He's terrible and we can't stand him and he doesn't care about baseball. But, yes, of course, the Ohtani rule makes sense. No one cares what happened back in your day. Ohtani didn't exist back in your day, and if he did, he'd be Hank Aaron. While also, being Nolan Ryan. Yeah, what rules did Babe Ruth even play under, man? Like, I don't even know what the rules back were then in the 1920s.
There weren't. Six strikes, whatever.
Again, like, if you want to grow the game, these are the things that you do. Again, because if we can do position swaps, this is just logic. The rule makes sense. There are two Los Angeles win totals I want to talk about here. First, we're going to bring the radio audience into the mix. Appreciate everybody who's tuning in. Sports Grid Radio, Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line on a Wednesday morning. The Los Angeles Angels win total sits at 83 and a half. Feels like a boost, certainly, that you'll be able to get Ohtani back there. But I don't think it's a situation where Don, who's 80 and a half now, Ohtani can bat when he pitches. It's 83 and a half. And also, the Dodgers win total, 99 and a half. By far, the highest win total on the board. Are you intrigued by either of those two LA win totals?
I'm intrigued by the Angels a little bit because I think we're a lot soured on that organization as we're supposed to be, and rightfully so. I mean, last year you basically had Anthony Rendon and Mike Trout just disappear for 50 to 60% of that season. But if we're taking a look at the Angels this year out there in the AL West, you know, the top four in this lineup is as good in baseball as you can get. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Jared Walson, Anthony Rendon. If they're healthy, they can carry you. And for me, you know me. I love it. I love team totals, and that certainly can make some sense. So if I'm interested in the Angels, you're probably buying a little bit low here at the 83 and a half. Now, when you turn it over and take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, now Jock Peterson put out a pretty good tweet today, basically, or I think it might have been last night, retweeted around, saying like some ownerships don't care and some ownerships are actually in it to win it. That's the Dodgers, you know, payroll approaching like $300 million, where like the Guardians have like a $30 million payroll. But when you try to take a look at these two LA teams and where they, you know, differentiate each other, I just talked about the top four in the lineup, right? And you say, hey, that's pretty good there for the Angels, and they can do damage. Let me just read you the anticipated starting lineup on opening day for the Los Angeles Dodgers and how baseball sometimes isn't fair. Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Chris Taylor, Cody Bellinger in the 8-hole, and A.J. Pollock in the 9-hole. That's ridiculous. That should never happen in a quote-unquote salary-taxed league here once you reach the salary tax threshold. That's what the Dodgers are putting out here. So the sky is the limit for the totals, but I don't know if I'm interested, Kevin, in saying you have to win 100 games to cash my ticket in. Seems a little high.
Three of the last four seasons, they've won 104-plus. Last four full seasons, and then the shortened season, they had the best win percentage in the history of a single season. They're probably going to win 100 games, the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll stay in L.A. The Lakers host the Sixers tonight. We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, man. I mean, Donnie just snuck in a hot fish take right before.
Yes, yeah.
Donnie, you want to chop that on the people or
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Did you go ahead?
Hey, I got the big screens up here, so sometimes my mind wanders, and sometimes I just like to hit Kev with a quick little notion of where I'm thinking before these segments open up. And Somebody brought up a really good point here on Twitter. Why isn't the fillet of fish called the quarter flounder, man? I mean, that's next level right there, isn't it? Man. And they even countered saying, or it could be called the big mackerel. Man.
I guess my only thing is filet of fish is pretty iconic in its own right, but quarter flounder is a good nickname. I like that. You ever filet of fish guy, Donnie?
No, I don't. Let's be honest. McDonald's way high up on my list. I mean, since I was like 4 years old, pounding away, I don't think I ever ordered a filet of fish. And that's not even like, oh, you probably did it. Well, no. I don't think I ever ordered a filet of fish in my life. And me, 16-year-old DRS, Magnolia, New Jersey, working the drive-thru at Mickey D's, maybe I tasted one. I can't remember, but I never ordered one, though. Now, hold it real quick here before I hijack the show.
Yeah, I know.
You put me on the mic while the drive-thru's coming around. DRS is messing with them cars a little bit. Got in trouble quite a few times there for doing that. So a little background there for the people. Yeah. Hello.
Wait a minute.
Yes, I'd like to place my order. Hello. Hi, this is Donnie. Welcome to Magnolia McDonald's. How can I help you? There you go.
You really could not have lasted all too long there,
tremendous.
Man. Throwing people burgers instead of chicken sandwiches because it'd be funny. I mean, I really don't understand. I mean, that's a nightmare. What a nightmare. I've never ate nor never will eat a filet-o-fish sandwich. Name it a quarter flounder, though, I might have to reevaluate my stance. That's unbelievable. I love a good quarter flounder. All right, I can't believe this is where we went. We're supposed to be breaking down the Sixers-Lakers game, one of the all-time great matchups here in the NBA. Well, let's start on the side and the total, and then we'll talk about the props for the stars because those are listed, Donnie. Philly goes to Los Angeles. They're laying Still thinking about a quarter flounder. They're laying 7.5 here. Total 229.5. Do either of those pique your interest?
Yeah, I don't think I really want to take the Philadelphia 76ers laying 7.5 on the road. Having said that, it is the Los Angeles Lakers, but we're not really in blowout mode, right? Or is this one of those games where we just talked about Trae Young heading into the Garden, where I'm pretty sure when NBA teams look at the schedule or what's coming up next over the next 2 weeks, hey, man, we get to L.A. and James Harden. Most teams, that's granted, most teams like, hey, I want to play on the biggest stage at Crypto.com Arena in front of the L.A. crowd. LeBron James is going to be there, sold out. I want to do my thing. But James Harden's like, now, hold on. We're playing the Lakers? Yeah, but I'll need to get out after the game is where the fun starts in the city of Los Angeles. I think the Sixers are going to be able to win this game, but am I interested right now, Kevin, in laying 7.5 points with the Sixers? No, I'm not.
Yeah, neither am I. They covered Harden and Embiid's first road game together in Minnesota. They haven't played many since then, but they haven't covered any since then either. The Lakers, two of their last three home games, LeBron scored 50 in. And they won. The Lakers are not playing the caliber of basketball, nor really are the Sixers to me, to justify such a strong line here in Los Angeles. I say that knowing that sometimes when it goes bad for the Lakers, it's 25 points bad and everything is disastrous. I think this total can have juice. The Sixers have cashed overs better than 70% of the time when they've been booked as a road favorite this season. The Lakers don't defend, and the Sixers, I think, will be glad to run up and down this floor. And it brings us to the two big names on the points prop total, which is 31.5. Both Embiid and LeBron listed at that number. And I'll just say right now, it's all LeBron to me. I mean, there's no hesitation in my mind, Donnie, that LeBron James is going to go right out there. It's what we talked about at the top of the show. Trae Young, narrative, moment, stage, Madison Square Garden, answers the bell, 45 points. LeBron, head-to-head, hunting a scoring title versus Joel Embiid. He's not in the MVP mix, but he can still make a statement. They're back in Los Angeles. This is a LeBron statement game. I think he's going to shoot the ball almost 100 times. This is all LeBron here. I have no hesitation on his 31.5.
Yeah, there's three names here on the FanDuel Sportsbook that you can take a piece of here in the points prop market. Joel Embiid over 31.5, LeBron James 31.5, and James Harden 23.5. Now, the reason why it's one of those games where if you take both Joel Embiid and LeBron James, one of those is going to win for you. So it's almost like you're playing with, -112 juice here that if one doesn't get there, I'd be shocked, Kevin. 25 points out of LeBron James, 26 out of Joel Embiid. Nobody hits the 30-point marker. And also, keep in mind here, number one, Joel Embiid's still fighting for an MVP where he's the favorite to do that. This is a big stage out in Los Angeles, even though it's not, the normal Lakers that we're looking for with LeBron James careening towards a championship. But also, keep in mind the stuff that we've been talking about this week, LeBron James to win a scoring title. Do you know who's right behind LeBron James fighting for a scoring title? It's Joel Embiid. 30 points even for LeBron James, 29.8 for Joel Embiid. One of those games where LeBron James can go for 39 and Joel Embiid goes for 29. Now you put another stamp in your book on, okay, I'm going to try to give myself a little bit more breathing room here. If you don't think these two players know, and Joel Embiid was on a podcast, I believe, with Draymond Green last week, basically asking him, what do you think about the MVP? And he said, it's my time this year. I'm supposed to win it. I want to win it. These guys, more or less, playing for history here. LeBron James being in his mid to late 30s, trying to take down a scoring title. Joel Embiid knowing and seizing the moment, because would he like to take the scoring title down? Sure, but he wants the MVP award. So usually we're trying to break down games going, who's going to win? You're going to take the -7.5. I look at these two players and saying, this is my time to shine. Head-to-head with this guy, big stage, let's go put on a show and both get into the 30s and see what happens here. I think they both go over the points prop total, and also MVP awards and also season scoring awards might hang in the balance after this game.
It's 100% true. It really, it's their 7.5-point favorites, so they shouldn't have a problem, the Sixers winning this game. I'm telling you right now, if the Lakers win this game, that Embiid MVP status is going to get shaky. I really do not agree that this award is over. But the problem is, I don't really believe in Jokic anymore. Jokic missed the window. They went to Philly, they won, and he somehow dropped out of the race. That sounds almost impossible, but that really is how it feels to me. But Giannis at 10-1. I'm going to make this point again. The Milwaukee Bucks, who last night just absolutely ran over that Chicago Bulls team, sit here a half game up on the Sixers. The Bucks are, you know, Giannis is averaging the same amount of points as Embiid. The Milwaukee Bucks, Donnie, have the opportunity in three games to close out March at Memphis, at Philly, at Brooklyn. If that's 3-0, and Giannis is out here with more points than Embiid and a better record than Embiid, how is Embiid winning MVP over Giannis?
Because I guess a guy has won it before. He's won his championship. He's got his MVP, you know, finals award, where, again, we're still human beings out here. Usually when it's your shot, and I get back to talking about Joel Embiid on the podcast there with Draymond Green, he feels like this is my time. Like, it's almost now or never. Like, when you have it in the clutches where you're supposed to take this down, that you feel that you should win it. And I think a lot of the fan base and also the voting base is actually moving towards Joel Embiid, because as much as we like to say, like with the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 165 price for Joel Embiid to win it, Nikola Jokic plus 165, that's just, these are odds makers here. This isn't anything from the room where they're making phone calls to people who are going to vote on this going, I just took a poll yesterday. 60% of the people said they're voting for Joel Embiid. This is just the feel in the betting public of what they think. Look, if we equate it to Major League Baseball, plus 165 wins nightly in Major League Baseball. So it's not as if it's a minus 5,000 to win this award. It still is, quite frankly, up in the balance. And tonight might go another, because if Joel Embiid drops a 35, 14, and 7 in a Sixers win, he goes to minus 185 tomorrow morning.
It's such a good point, just to quickly say that no one gets that strong of a favorite. Tyler Hero is minus 20,000 win Sixth Man of the Year. Exactly. John Morant minus 1,300 to win Most Improved Player. You do. It's just that's not where it is right now in the MVP race. A lot more NBA action to break down. Keep it right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's finish up this NBA board here. And look, there's a lot of good games on the slate tonight. Tough spot for the road to under 44 and a half, as what started out looking tremendous, KD's come back too soon, and certain things are starting to break right for the Nets. They go to Memphis tonight on the road, which means Kyrie's back, and Ja Morant will be out for this basketball game, which really, for me, Donnie, I look at the Nets right now laying 3, it looks light. Memphis has been very good without Ja Morant. It's part of the reason his MVP case was really never legitimate. But I'm still a little surprised that the KD Kyrie Nets are laying such a short number versus Memphis in prime time with Ja Morant not on the floor.
Yeah, it doesn't make all that much sense to me either. Let's take a look here. Last 5 games for Kyrie Irving, because why? He can't play at home. 38, 19, 50, 22, 60. So if he's given you this much, and this is what I love about Kyrie Irving, because I didn't actually take a look at his props today to see what they possibly would be. It's almost like he hasn't had any filter on the road, because he knows, like, this is his time and they're going to give him all the minutes he wants and he's going to get as many shots as he wants up. In that game, he scored 60 points. He took 31 shots from the field. He was 8 of 12 from three-point range. So it's almost like the restrictor plates are off when he gets off the road, which also comes into KD, because the thing I like about KD now is, you know, sometimes some superstars like, hey, hold on. You're getting yours. Now it's time to get mine. Like, it just seems like when Kyrie says, I need to go off tonight, and I am going off, KD's like, have the center stage, man. I'll go ahead and get my 19, 21 points. You go get your 50, and we'll all eat together with a victory. So that's what I look at here. But you're right. You know, taking the under on the Nets, where whenever they go on the road, you get these two matched up together, and they seem to go off, and you're matching up games where maybe if you were just schedule hunting a few weeks ago, that's a loss on the road. I don't care if Kyrie and KD are coming back. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are a good ball club. They'll have a tough time winning that. And their best player sits out. When you're going to get both Kyrie and Kevin Durant in the game, it makes it tough. Line does seem short to me, because there's no way I'm really going to step into this one going, I'm going to fade Kyrie and Kevin Durant without Ja Morant on the court.
Here's the interesting thing, right? So Ja's missed 2 of the last 3 games. They went to Indiana. They won by 33. They went to Houston. Yeah. They won by 24. Terrible basketball teams. Terrible. To win by 25 plus, basically, in 2 games without your best player, is a bit wild. There was a 12-game window that John Morant missed all 12 of the games. They were 10-2 in those games. Memphis has been, again, and trust me, this is not, oh, they're better without John Morant. Obviously not. But this is why the number is what it is. I understand how we get here, but it does feel like a spot where it's going to continue to be people clicking on Brooklyn, especially because still, Donnie, I think for a lot of people, it would be surprising if the Nets win and don't cover. 1.2-point decision. It happens, but a lot of people will line up those three, and the Nets will run away with this, and I'm not all too concerned. I find myself honestly fearful of both of these teams because of what the Nets have been able to do when, you know, KD and Kyrie out there on the court together and what Memphis has been able to do without John Morant. You see that big time total there, 236.5. And look, when Kyrie is getting involved, I mean, this team is, you know, scoring 130 a night. If Memphis is going to keep this close, I think over 236.5 can start to line up. Another game on tonight's board that's pretty fun, Celtics and Jazz. I like that a lot of people in the NBA are now being very upfront. Just, you know, Utah Jazz, regular season heroes. It's true. I mean, we'll just be honest about the basketball team. It's what they are. But Utah so often, Donnie, no matter where they were, they would find themselves booked as favorites. The Boston Celtics are one of those teams that people are really trying to figure out what to do with now because the Boston Celtics continued to be dominant, really, in this, you know, 2 to 3 month window now ever since January, right? This is only going to be the seventh time the Jazz have been a dog this season. Only the seventh time that the Boston Celtics show that they've kind of earned that status. What do you make of the 5-point line and the 219.5 total?
Yeah, if we're taking a look, I mean, it's certainly Celtics. It's one of those where you want to ride the hot hand, and I certainly agree with it here. If you're looking from a perspective of take the spread out of it, Celtics can be very much involved in this game, and rightfully so. It seems like coming out of the All-Star break, you sort of kick in because it's usually the official halfway point, unofficial, even though that it's back ended, only 25% of the season is left, basically after the All-Star break, particularly this year. But Jason Tatum has been absolutely nothing short of sensational, Kevin. 36, 30, 32, 26, 21, 31, 44, 54. If he's giving you that nightly, along with Jaylen Brown and that talented roster, why not? And normally you would look and say to yourself, right, Utah Jazz can get 5 points, sign me up. They can be in this game. And certainly they can. But it's one of those where I wouldn't be surprised, Kevin. At the end of the first quarter, 34-21 Celtics, here they go with Jason Tatum staying hot. Because we used to joke when we were doing in-play sports tonight, hey, look, Tatum, he's lined up at 24 points tonight. Passing on that guy, watch him be 3 of 14 at the half. And routinely, it seems like in the first half, Kevin, he was doing that. Not so much anymore. Look at his 3-point shooting just in the last three games. 5 of 11, 6 of 10, 7 of 10. He must have worked extremely hard on that 3-point shot because how many times were we backing him in a 3-point prop parlay? Like, why is he leaving us at the door? 1 of 8 from 3-point range. All he had to do was make 2 3-point shots. He's making those now, and obviously seeing with those points that he's had over the past, I don't know, month and a half here, he's been sensational, and I look forward to that to continue tonight as well.
And look, then I'll give praise to the other guy from the same draft class in Donovan Mitchell. Points prop tonight, 27.5. Last four games, 29, 37, 36, and 30. Over 3.5 made threes. Maybe looks a little expensive at minus 142. Does it feel expensive when you hear these totals? 5 of 17, 9 of 15, 7 of 12, 5 of 15. If I get 15 3-point shots, I'm getting 4 makes from Donovan Mitchell. I promise you that. Right now, Donovan Mitchell will have a good game here tonight because I think Utah can keep it close, and that's going to involve a good night from Donovan Mitchell. His props jump right off of the card to me. We talked about Golden State struggles at the top, Donnie. It's going to be a shorthanded group here on the back-to-back. I don't think Draymond or Klay really play in these spots, and again, we know Steph is injured. On its face, the 7 looks light for Miami, who should be very bothered by what they put forward the last go-around for that game at Philadelphia here. But we know that Miami's loss came in a comparable spot, a team that they were significantly better than through the situation. No stars, back-to-back. Same spot here versus Golden State. I hesitate on the number.
No, I would hesitate on the number as well. But you know what number I'm not going to hesitate on? The 214.5 going under that, because we don't know who's going to play. If we're looking at the anticipated starting lineups tonight, it actually says Klay Thompson and Draymond Green both in the lineup, as well as Jimmy Butler for the Heat, where, you know, he's banged up also. So if we're missing superstars in this game, and we know the Miami Heat usually play a grimy game where both teams creep over the 100 point marker, I'm going to go under in this one. This is also one of those teams where the Warriors, without some firepower tonight, they've been a constant under team, at least for the majority of the season. There's no way I'm looking at this game for myself and saying early in the morning as we do this, I like the over, because as you said it, there's a good chance that Klay Thompson doesn't play, Draymond Green doesn't play, Jimmy Butler's ankle. Maybe they're looking for a bounce back performance and an angry effort out of the Miami Heat as well, since losing to the Philadelphia 76ers backups here. So if I were leaning toward it, I would take the Miami Heat, thinking that the Heat lineup would be a little bit stronger than what we're going to see tonight from the Warriors. But first look for me would be an under in this game, Kevin.
I think the total is very interesting, because we've seen the Jordan Poole Warriors play overs, but again, it's an odd spot here going to Miami, because we know what Miami can do to teams. Obviously, the Heat have played their fair share of overs as well. It'll be a fun game to break down. Also looking here on this board, I have to bring up Timberwolves Suns, because these, you know, look, Minnesota's just been fantastic. I have to say, I was talking to someone the other day when Minnesota went to Dallas and they were only getting 2 points. I said, and I asked, I said, what did you think of that line? They said, oh, yeah, I thought somebody was injured. And I'm like, oh, yeah, same. I thought somebody was out on Dallas. They were like, no, I thought somebody was out on Minnesota. That's how good the Timberwolves have been playing. And Minnesota, by the way, ended up getting, I think, 2.5 points, covered it in a 2-point loss. They have been unbelievable. Well, so have the Phoenix Suns, because they're the Phoenix Suns. They win every single game that they play. I truly maintain that if Chris Paul stayed healthy, he would be deep, deep, deep into the MVP race right now, as they'd be trying to hunt down 70 total wins. This game, though, near pick, it shades the Suns, understandably so. What do you think about Minnesota catching a slight number at home tonight, DRS?
Yeah, I'd be looking towards the Timberwolves in this one if I'm going to catch a slight number. You know, Patrick Beverley, D'Angelo Russell, Edwards, Vanderbilt Towns. This is a fun basketball team. And one of those teams, you're right, sometimes under the radar here, because still playing in that play-in type, can we make it into the actual, you know, playoffs without having to run into the play-in games and get knocked out? They have a lot of firepower. And the same way we talk about maybe college basketball, the three-point shot can do you in regardless of how your defense plays. It just feels like when the Timberwolves can get hot on offense, there's not very many teams that can stop them here. I love the Phoenix Suns. They're a great basketball team, waiting on Chris Paul to get back here for that playoff run. But tonight, if I'm looking for a short number and a short price, Timberwolves for me tonight, get that W.
Look, I think Minnesota will be live in the game. I have to look at this total. I think it might be a touch too high. I think this has a playoff-ish atmosphere to it tonight. I think the game will tighten up a little bit. Minnesota has been a big-time under team at home this season. Also, this is, I don't have statistics to throw you to back this up, but I just feel like a lot of times when a team cashes an over coming off of overtime, and the, you know, the overtime period was necessary, it comes back around under. We saw that with Phoenix going over the number in overtime versus the Sacramento Kings. One game I'm going to bring up, we don't have the chance to break it down necessarily, but I just have to bring up the Magic and the Thunder tonight. I mean, just two terrible basketball teams. I mean, just awful, awful teams. 19 and 20 wins, respectively. These are two of the four worst teams in the NBA. I can't believe Orlando is laying a number in OKC. But then again, what's OKC going to lay a number to a team? The toilet bowl, if you will. We'll talk some college basketball next right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. 20 minutes left in our show today, which gives us enough time to set up what will be tomorrow's preview for the Sweet 16 board. And there's certainly a lot of player props already listed, so we will be able to break these down in their entirety. We'll give you the picks. But today we kind of set the stage. What jumps out? Gonzaga and Arkansas is going to be the first game off the board. There are big-time players here in Droop Timming, J.D. Notte for Arkansas. We know Chet Holmgren available as well. Tell me, Donnie, have you started to peel through the player prop section in Arkansas and Gonzaga, and has anything caught your eye?
Yeah, it's hard for me to go through because I haven't actually ever bet a player prop in NCAA action. So I'm just trying to equate it to like how the NBA, because you know me, I love NBA props. We talk about them daily on the show, have fun betting those. But I'm trying to find that market because when you take a look at like the NBA, like, hey, this guy's going to make over 2.5 3-point shots. Everybody's usually lined like 1.5, and it seems so easy to get to. But if you're looking for the guys that are lined up, right, like Chet Holmgren, what's the first thing I would look at? Not his points prop, would be his rebound prop. Mm-hmm. Drew Timmy, points prop. First thing that you would look at here. But sometimes I feel some of those lower level numbers, like let's just say Drew Timmy, if you're looking for points, maybe you find him on the assist line where he needs like 2.5 or 3.5 assists to cash that in. Those, some of those underlying value. But I haven't found, because even in the NBA, as I talk about underlying value, how many times do we take a look at the Brooklyn Nets? Kevin's like, hey, you could take Kyrie Irving, you could take Kevin Durant. But more finding myself looking towards like a Seth Curry at that point. It's like that third option. I'm still trying to weigh some options on how that actually plays out, because now that we start moving towards it, how many times in the regular season of college basketball, even like one guy per game, now you're getting just about everybody across the board, so it makes it fun. But quantifying value for myself, I don't really understand how to approach it, similar to being an NBA guy for me, Kevin.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting board to peel through. There's a couple of guys from this game that jumped out to me, or a couple of you know, specific numbers that jumped out to me. Points props are always going to catch the eye. The one thing I'll just tell people kind of as an overlaying point is there are certain college games that will go 20 points under the number. And that'll happen in the NBA. But when that happens in the NBA, there's still 205 points available in a game. If that happens in college basketball, you're going to have about 105 points scored in the game. I mean, there are truly games where if you really love an under, you can go out there and every single listed player click under on their points prop and you'll walk away with a winning night and forget the cap. There's just not enough available points on the board. There are other items, though, that will jump out. And for me, there's two of them here, one on Timmy and one on Notte. Firstly, on Timmy, he's been rebounding the basketball tremendously in two tournament games so far, 13 versus Georgia State and 14 versus Memphis. His number is 8.5 at plus money. You don't want to be caught into a two-game whirlwind, but it's hard not to when that is the NCAA tournament and things kind of peak a little bit there. The one that I really like, though, is J.D. Notte. And look, the senior guard versus Gonzaga is going to look for a monstrous performance. But sometimes you're going to have to take what the defense gives you. I like his over 3.5 assists. Early look right now. He's hit that in 5 of 7. But more important, and he's landed, three twice, the two times that he didn't get over that number. I think, Donnie, this is one of those games with that high anticipated total that assist props and points props make sense if these two teams can even get close to that anticipated score.
Yeah, you're right about that. And you take a look at JT Notte here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, even his assist prop there, over 3.5 at a -104, because typically you're right, we would look to him to scoring 18 and 17 in those two games that he's played in the tournament. But take back a five-game snapshot here on his assist, Kevin. 4, 3, 5, 4, and 3. All right around there. And if we're talking about Arkansas having a good basketball game, J.D. Notte is going to have to approach 20 points in this game. He's not going to be able to do one of those 10-point efforts here. And, oh, we were able to hang around. No, he knows he needs to be the superstar of the night and certainly all the way across the board. I got to tell you one thing that really sticks out to me. Now, there's no way to bet it here, which sometimes we see on the FanDuel Sportsbook with steals. J.D. Notte, 8 steals versus New Mexico State in the last game. I don't know if that's a misprint or that's unbelievable. So you could almost have had a triple-double, including steals at that point, which is phenomenal. But 18 points versus New Mexico, 17 points versus Vermont. He's going to need another one of those nights here to cash in against Gonzaga if Arkansas is going to have a legitimate chance to move on.
And that's where, you know, the player performance double markets. Now, and these are absolutely unique to the tournament from what I can remember. And if you are, you know, really set on Arkansas in this game, right, a team that's plus 375 in the money line, does J.D. Notte need 20-plus for a win? Probably. That's plus 650. Yeah. Those are the kind of things that you start to try and take a look at there. I just talked about Drew Timmy going over an 8.5 rebound number. Well, that means he's at 9, which means we're one away from 10. Gonzaga is minus 500 to win this game. Drew Timmy for a double-double and a Zags win, plus 180. Jumps off the page to me. Jumps right off the page to me. So you can try and line up that plus money and see where that starts to ultimately kind of work its way in for you here. That's the nice thing with some of these numbers. Villanova, Michigan, as we take a look here at this game, one thing that immediately just kind of jumps off the page is the fact that they don't have any Villanova numbers up just yet. Nova Michigan is going to be a very exciting game. One of the key guys that people will take a look at is going to be Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson has been tremendous for this team in the NCAA tournament, 21 and 27 in his first two games. He left a bit to be desired versus Indiana, only getting to 15. But the two before that versus Iowa, 21, and put up a 33 spot versus Michigan. You look at Dickinson right now, and his number checks in at 19.5. It's plus 102 to get to that number. We know that Nova is going to be very good on the defensive side of the ball, a near top 30 defense in college basketball. But I look up and down that roster, and I'm not sure there's an answer for Dickinson on it. And right now, Michigan is, and it seems to, because I think the transition came a little bit more through the Colorado State game, and they realized, hey, we got to trust this guy. And they did, and they continued to give him the basketball, and it paid dividends. And I think if you're Michigan, you cannot come out the way that you did the first two go-rounds in this tournament and spot your opponent a double-digit lead. Certainly not Villanova. Jay Wright, 21-1 when holding a halftime lead this season. So you have to be able to go to Dickinson early. And I think that would make it, I think that would put you in obviously a significantly better position there if you were Michigan going into this game versus Villanova. What about Duke? What about Duke Texas Tech? Now, this is going to be, it's a tough, all right, let me say this. Duke Texas Tech is a perfect example when we talk about the ability to maybe just blindly under a board and say, nope, not enough people will go over their listed points props, right? You have numbers on Adonis Arms, Paolo Bancaro, Jeremy Roach, A.J. Griffin, Mark Williams, Kevin O'Banner, Terrence Shannon Jr., Bryson Williams, Kevin McCullough, Trevor Keels, and Wendell Moore Jr. 11 listed player prop totals. If you think this is a Texas Tech game, we saw what a Texas Tech game looked like versus Notre Dame. 59-53, you legitimately can go under on the card. You'll come out profitable. But I like Duke in the game. I do like Duke in the game. And I was a part of that Duke over versus Cal State Fullerton, fell short, said, you know what, don't worry, we're coming back twice. Came back, worked out nicely. Duke has not played consecutive unders since January, obviously coming off of an over versus Michigan State. So that all worked out wonderfully. Bancaro catches my eye. His number is listed at 16.5. And again, you want to respect this Texas Tech defense that rightfully is positioned as maybe the best in college basketball. But Bancaro has been a meet-the-moment guy. Started game one versus Kentucky. 22 points at Madison Square Garden. Followed it up versus Gonzaga. 21 on that neutral court. It was the biggest game that those teams had played all season long. K's last game, I know they lost, still gave you 23. ACC tournament final, gave you 20. In the semifinal, gave you 18. 17 versus Cal State Fullerton. 19 versus Michigan State. 16.5. Texas Tech is great. So is Paolo Bancaro. The interesting thing for me with Duke, because, and again, that's part of the, you see how many players are listed here on the board. The interesting thing with Duke is they do have other guys that can get very hot. I'm still waiting on the A.J. Griffin game. The game where A.J. Griffin hits like four threes and is just the difference in the game. Like, they don't have A.J. Griffin listed right now in the three-point prop market. I think that will change as we get closer, but maybe not. Maybe they don't want a piece of an A.J. Griffin because he's a little bit more challenging to book, which would be understandable. But that'll be something, I think, for us to keep our eyes on as well. And I'll mention this other spot here in the Arizona-Houston game, which, again, I mean, what a fun game this is going to be. I still remain a touch surprised at how much respect Houston is being given. I'm not saying they haven't earned it, but I wonder if I could argue Arizona deserves a little bit more respect. I wonder how much of this is a product of the last round where Arizona is involved in an overtime game versus TCU and Houston is running Illinois off the floor. It's probably got some to do with that here. But Benedict Mathurin, who certainly has NBA prospects, is posted right now at 18.5. He had a 30 ball versus TCU, a career high. But a career high is a career high. He had 18 the game versus Wright State. Obviously, he didn't need it as much. UCLA, though, he gave him 27. This is a big game. But that 145.5, is it a tick too high? Because we know both of these teams are still also very, very capable on the defensive side of the ball. This is where game script will matter a lot if you're going to be involved in the props market. There's a couple of spots that we don't have props listed just yet, and it's understandable. UNC and UCLA. We do not know whether Jaime Jaquez Jr. is going to play yet. That is going to matter a ton. A ton. I don't know, with the total at 141.5 and some of the high-scoring games that UNC has played, if they don't have Jaquez Jr., I don't know if you can post Johnny Juzang's number high enough. He hasn't had... Johnny Juzang is one of the stars of the tournament last year. Played so well, he almost went from not on people's radar to the first round. Ultimately decided to come back. Juzang's going to have a big tournament game. It might be there versus UNC because it might not have any other choice if you're going to be without Jaquez Jr. The other spot, and again, we don't have the props yet, Purdue St. Peter's. I want to see what they do for the big dogs on Purdue. Ivy, Edie, and Trevion Williams. Trevion Williams is catching my eye right now in the NCAA tournament. Again, Don and I laughed because he was the second favorite to win Player of the Year and then was the sixth man on his own team. You're not going to win Player of the Year as the sixth man on your own team, but you can go out there and have a big game versus St. Peter's. 12.5-point favorite, 135 total. Expected certainly Purdue to fill it up on the offensive side of the basketball there. Some guys certainly will be thriving against those St. Peter's defense that is ranked top 30 in the country. That'll be a fun game as well. We're closing out the early line after a quick break right here on Sports Grid on this Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here on the early line, SiriusXM channel 159, setting the table before we give it away to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next couple hours. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, we covered a lot of topics today, but we're careening towards this first day of Major League Baseball opening day in just a few weeks, and I got to tell you, Major League Baseball, you're doing it for me. People, listen up. All right, people, listen up right now. And I got something to say here. I love what Major League Baseball is doing. Kevin might say to himself, hey, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, terrible. One of the worst. Rob Manfred has had the best 30 days that a commissioner in any sport has ever had. With everything going into play here, getting Major League Baseball back onto the field, getting the players union to agree, and look at these rule changes we have. DHs in both leagues, sensational. The Ghost Runner put back in for 2022, sensational. We don't want to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch an 18-inning game where the bullpens of each team are mangled for over the next couple weeks here. You want to get in, you want to get out. But also keep in mind some of the things down the road. Maybe take a look at the robotic umpires that we've been begging for to give us a good strike zone, or at least a competent strike zone here. So as I say here, Major League Baseball batting 1,000 in this offseason is correct. If this leads us down the path here in 2022, extra playoff teams, fantastic. And again, as I talked about, the DH in both leagues, sensational. Guys making more money than they ever dreamed of. The lower buckets in Major League Baseball, the rookies, the first-year players, the second-year players, making that much more money makes so much more sense for the health of the ballgame. Now, sooner or later, do we have to take a look at the luxury tax and who actually gets to pay that, like the Dodgers, and who's actually not spending money? Teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins, we'll figure that out along with the Cleveland Guardians. But baseball is as healthy as it's ever been at this time that I've ever seen it in my 44 years on this planet, and I absolutely love it. So make sure you stay tuned to Ben Stevens in the morning after right here on Sports Grid. Why? Because Major League Baseball is about to be in our life, and it's fantastic.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.